way it's being fed to the people, and they get an overall impression that, my God, we're going to be down to the post office and the defense establishment, and that's it.
There are some good editorials coming. Part of that, Jim, is your regional structure, which is not the most loyal in the world.
Yeah, is that right?
I think you ought to consider setting up somebody like that who's responsible for the Washington Senate in the next 30 days.
Well, I'm more than
the Senate in the next 45 days. It won't take any budget, but we, I mean, we can do it ourselves. I've analyzed the results of those, and they
That's what I am.
Well, you get three things. I mean, you get regional television, number one, in a quality that you don't get through the networks that'll hold you to a minute and a half. You get a saturation of regional television for your remarks and for a substantial amount of briefing. Secondly, you get a backlog or a reservoir of editorials that'll come over a period of 2 or 3 weeks, like we got on those revenue sharing briefings. We just got all kinds of favorable editorials over on a sustained yield basis. And then of course you get your spot newspaper coverage in newspapers that ordinarily don't carry a favorable administration story, a weekly, for instance, that wouldn't be writing about revenue sharing. Was writing about revenue sharing because the guy came to Springfield, Illinois, and he went to the briefing, and that's the biggest thing.
Had to move on.
You don't think it's your broadcast editor?
I can say that I've seen it with my own speeches that even a UPI or AP stringer out in the hinterland just gives you a much better break than you get homemade. But there just isn't any doubt about it. And
it's really true. It's totally true. Cat-toss.
Yeah.
We can't break through in Washington. Right. It's a survey controversy, but you're big news in the country, and therefore you've got to go to the country.
And you get four columns in the paper. You're absolutely amazed that you're living in this town.
We find that, generally speaking, if I go to the country, I get a hell of a lot less national than if I do it here.
I'll be that.
It's a curious thing.
But if you can, for 10, 30 days, you go out once a week or twice a week, for 30 days, you can turn this damn conference around.
And one, the fourth thing, John,
is
that we ought to deliberately have that message each time include a strong recommendation that they write to their congressman.
Right.
I think we ought to try to induce mail explicitly saying.
Yeah, now get John D. to tell us exactly how to phrase that, will you? Because if we saturate on that, you're putting yourself in a position where the guy on the other side can start screaming lobbying the expense when you went out to the hinterland.
Right.
Be very careful. You can say it, but you just got to know how to say it. The general counsel in me, I'm sorry.
Yes, I know. There is a problem there because, you see, you'll be on government planes and all that sort of thing. You go out and talk with the lobbyist, your congressman, and so forth. I mean, they can raise all the hell, but you can
say whatever your views are.
Yeah,
your responsibility as a citizen here is to communicate with your elective office. You're not telling them to do a thing one way or another, but if you do it right, you can get the message across.
Well, now, we have a domestic council meeting on Friday, John. Is that the one that you set up for Jordan?
Urbanly,
right. Urbanly. Well, there's no reason why you can't take a half hour at the beginning of it. I mean, Jordan, for God's sakes, that's just two for him and one for us, or none, I should say. I mean, we're just doing it, you know, for getting a little money to help us in our good actions. Why don't you get out a little something to do it yourself? No use to take the whole cabin and have Rogers and Richardson test. They cannot get to this and shouldn't, because it is two cars in the water. But everybody else can, okay? Everybody else can. Everybody else is a member of the domestic council, right? Including the Attorney General. He could do some good. I'd like to talk about that crime.
And I'd like to point this out a little deeper than CAP, Undersecretary's Assistant.
Absolutely. Absolutely. They are great people.
And Senate Assistant Secretary is big news.
One good thing about this would be that at the moment, both Cabinet and Undersecretary Durbin Mills are responding to invitations. And this way we can kind of make our own plan, go on places that we felt most important, and sort of carry the attack instead of just picking up an organization here, an organization there that happens to have.
What you virtually have to do is to give them talking points with regard to a very simple line you want to get across, and they don't go out and talk about what they're doing to rebuild the cities and all that jazz, but they go out solely on this one issue. And just everybody sings the same tune for a while. Maybe we're cutting off. You think it might?
I just love to cry.
Yeah, I think we're getting nothing at the moment.
That's
where we're
saying.
Real cry.
You don't think we're getting it?
I don't think there's any count.
What the hell, everybody's been out speaking?
Well, I
don't know. A lot of us, of course, were in this transitional period of the new job and the like.
I have not.
I've only been out about 3 times so far.
Well, and you also your confirmation and all that.
Yeah, and then staffing up.
You've been out.
The place is still pretty hollow.
Two other times.
done at the labs. Probably it has to be done from somebody outside. But I'm quite disappointed about that, John, because I raised this a month ago. I just kept them off their tails, and I don't think they've done it. That report indicates that they've contacted these people, so they're going to put some ads in the paper. That's the lazy man's way to do something. That is what we want. We want them to write a circular letter to every one of their members, and every one of their members agrees to write 100 letters. That's the way to do it. It's the letters to these. The congressmen and the senators are all so parochial and ignorant these days that in terms of public. But they weigh their mail. They don't weigh the evidence. They're held in mail. They're not even smart enough to know what it's farm mail. Farm mail anymore. A lot of them are. Because basically a lot of them don't read it. They have administrative assistants treating them. Those poor people, they don't know.
Another suggestion I should have in the hospital not very far from the 1974 election. I think it would play this step like we got a chance to take in the House. If he could add just one House and then Congress under Article last year, we'd accomplish more than anything in 6 years. This number
of the sophomore.
This number of occupation, I asked George Bush and Janet Johnson, this very attractive vice chairman. An hour and a half with Phil Campbell. And we sat there for an hour and a half discussing wages, which I can make $11 billion at least by May, you know, if you pay on collision.
Sure.
George appreciated this. I did the same thing a year ago with Ann Armstrong and Tom Evans.
All right.
Now, I think that George and Janet would appreciate a similar session of every major cabinet member in the department. Probably a fair invitation. And I asked George, I said, now, you can identify the district out here in the farm territory where we can pick up, where we got a chance of picking up a congressman. We can identify fairly, or I can put money there, I can put projects in there, I can make appointments there, we can work toward this area. And he said, well, it's a great idea. And begin right now for the 1974 congressional elections. I think it would make some overt. Made some overstep in that direction. You may want some of those congressmen up there who feel more handed towards. You said we work in the House, and I quite agree with you. I think that's where we need to work. And you might have dropped this suggestion to the various cabinet members and agency people that we make the initiative in making this overture to them.
We have a problem there. The House, those houses are so incumbent minded that they, in other words, if we hold all the incumbents, we're still on. Not only the incumbents, but the main thing is to get candidates, and that's where we hope to God and Brock or the Senate. What the thing is, Scott is today going over to the meeting, people who want to do the agreements, he lives in Iowa State, he wants Cotton to run again.
Oh, that's six.
He wants
Saxby.
No.
Aiken, and what is Aiken, 83 or 4?
Bannon. Now, none of them should run.
Right.
None of them should run. They're fine people. But none of them should run. They're all too old. As a matter of fact, Scott probably shouldn't have run. Right. I don't say that critically. Margaret Smith obviously shouldn't. Cotton shouldn't run again. And yet they'll run. If they do run, I predict every one of them will lose. It's a young man's world these days.
Somebody's got to face that.
And they cannot run people over 70 anymore. If God damn it, they've got to quit it. And they've got to go back and not run them over 50. For the House, not over 40. For the Senate, not over 50. Nobody over 50 should run. I mean, for the first time.
Yeah.
For the first time. Not worth it. Why elect a senator when he's 60? For God's sakes, he can only be in for 2 terms. Maybe 3.
Well, somebody's got to take a firm chance.
Got to do it. But you don't see it. That's why our people are not standing up to him. I mean, you're Scott today. You suggested me. Now, for example, Milt Young's got to run. Maybe he can win. But Milt Young is 74 years of age.
He shouldn't run.
Milt Young is 74 years of age.
He
ought to step off, step aside. Mark Anderson. because we need their votes at the moment. But the point is that somebody, there's where your party leaders step into it. Comes from the outside. These fellows affect him.